Hello, everyone. This is Jerry Pippin. An interesting conference is coming up in Albuquerque in August 10th through 12th. It's called Wake Up Now. Actually, this is the second year for it. And we have a lady on the line who's behind the conference, someone I've known for a while. I've actually been on her radio show in the past. Nancy Wallace, welcome to the program. How are you?
Hi, Jerry, and thanks for having me on your show. Yeah, last time you were on my show, I think we had a good time, so hopefully we'll have a good time again.
Well, I'm sure we'll have another good time today, Nancy. We always do. If I remember correctly, weren't you originally from Chicago? But you've been out in New Mexico for some time, right?
In Chicago, I actually had my business out in Chicago when I was there for about 35 years.
Well, I think you would qualify to be a native New Mexican, almost.
Well, yeah, now I am. I moved to New Mexico probably a little over 3 years ago. So I'm a native here, and I love it. Don't ever want to move back to Chicago.
You know, our producer for the Inception Radio series is Joe Champion. He still lives in Chicago. Maybe we should give him equal time. Nah. let's talk about the conference in a minute. But first of all, let's talk a little bit about Nancy Wallace. Didn't you write a book?
Yes, I did. I actually wrote a book. It is an autobiography that I self-published. It's called Raised by Angels, because that's how I feel I've been raised. And granted, I have parents, and I love them, and they housed me, and they fed me, and they clothed me. But they didn't really teach me the wisdom that I have learned over the course of all these years, and I'm actually very grateful for them being there. And it kind of started when I was about 6 years old, and I had a really freak accident where I landed with my head and neck under my back. So by all rights, I should be paralyzed or dead, and I am neither one. But what happened while I laid there, because my brothers were afraid to touch me, I kept hearing this beautiful voice telling me that you're okay, there's nothing wrong with you. You know, a lot of things now will let you know when you can use it. Now, as a child, when you're 6 years old and you hear a beautiful voice, you're not really afraid of too many things, and I wasn't. In fact, when I opened my eyes, I was looking at the ground, but I knew I was laying on my back, which is a big feat, I guess. But I wasn't afraid at all. But that voice, I should say those voices, because I have a beautiful, angelic voice, and I, of course, have some other ones that try to make me really pay attention, have been now with me through my whole life. And they've actually guided me and helped me to basically do the right things and to try to help people. And so that's kind of what my book is about, what I had to go through in order to be where I am today. And some of it's tearjerker, some of it's kind of funny, and I didn't even want to write it, to be honest. It was like everybody has a story. Mine is just a one of the stories, but they just kept bothering me and saying, you're going to write a book, and I just kept saying, no, I'm not. But as people learn, usually those voices that come through you are very seldom wrong, and they really won't leave you alone until you have done what they basically have asked you to do. So after about 3 months of being downloaded with all this information, I said, okay, if I just write this book, will you please be quiet? Don't go away. Just please be quiet and give me a break. So what happened is I sat down at my computer, and I usually don't get along. But I sat down at 10 o'clock at night, and I didn't really know what time it was till the next morning at 5 a.m., and there was all kinds of things written. I did that two or three times, and the book was done. So I didn't really write it. It was kind of given to me, but it was given to me in the long run, I found out, as a self-help book for anyone that reads it, kind of based on what I had to go through with a lot of people being out there who are starting to wake up thinking that they're weird, crazy, or strange, and they really aren't. They're just starting to wake up. So this book is kind of a guide to help them to know that there are a lot of other people out there like them. All they have to do is not be afraid to start allowing, you know, what they know to now come through.
Now, how does one get a hold of the book?
They can go to my website, which is Nancy's, that's Nancy's, psychicresources.com, and they can order it right through there. Starting in September, it is going to be published by a company in Denmark. So it'll be in Europe. They're going to rewrite it in, you know, a couple different languages. So there will be several ways. But for right now, they can get it in a hard book form. They can get it on a CD. Or I can actually do an e-book. So it's there. All they have to do is go to the website and pick which way they want it, and we'll get it out to them.
Nancy, regular listeners to our show have probably heard a commercial for your conference, Wake Up Now conference. the second year. And at the end of that commercial, we say it's a benefit for the School of Now. Why don't you explain to our listeners exactly what the School of Now is?
The School of Now is actually a project of my 501c3, A Child's Miracle Mind, Inc., basically. And, again, this has all been channeled to me. And, again, I argued with them because they came through and they said I needed a 501c3, and I thought, okay, that's not a problem. But then they came through again and they told me that I was going to open a school. And I said, no, I'm not. I have no idea about it. Okay? I just said no. And they said, and you're going to move. I said, no, I'm not. So we had our little to-do again, and it ended up where, out of the clear blue, I decided that I might as well do this because, again, they're not going to leave me alone until I follow through. So I was telling one of my friends about it, and he said, Nancy, there's something I want you to see. And I said, well, okay, come on by. So he comes by, and he actually brings me Michael Scallion's map of the world, the future world. And I looked at that map, and it had been very familiar to me, although I had not seen it before, because as a child growing up, I was given all these visions of what's going on. And so I looked at this map, and I said, that looks familiar. Don't know why, but it did. And I said, okay, I need to be right there. Well, right there was in the state of New Mexico, but I didn't know where I actually pointed to. And where I had pointed to is there's a body of water in the middle of New Mexico. Most people think New Mexico is dry, and we actually have a lot of ponds and rivers. But I pointed to this just below this big body of water. Then I had to go onto the Internet and find out where I pointed. Now, the body of water was called Elephant Butte State Park. And then right below it is a town called Truth or Consequences. And I thought, that's pretty interesting. I should point that out. So I actually took a field, like a little road trip, with four generations of women, my mom, my daughter, my granddaughter, myself, and we all came down to New Mexico just to see where right there was. But Truth or Consequences did not have the energy field that I was looking for. So we went back home, and I kind of kept looking, and then I came up with a house that was for rent in Los Lunas. And so I called and, said that, yeah, I could come down and see it. So I went down to see it, and the energy there was much better than in Truth or Consequences. So I went back home and I said to my family, I said, I have to move. You don't have to come with me, but this is something I have to do. So that's exactly what I did. I, decided I was going to move, and of course my other three generations of women said, well, you're not leaving us here, we're coming with you. So four generations of women moved down here to New Mexico, and I came down here with one purpose, and that was to find land, find funding, build a school, open it, and run it. And within probably the first 9 months I was down here, I was actually donated 20.5 acres of land to build a school on. So again, my guides were right. You just have to take that move. You have to have the faith. And so that's what I did. So now I'm down here. I have the land. And I've had David Icke. I brought him here. It was really funny. I brought him here for a fundraiser. Not that I got to make a lot of money on any of these because it was a learning process. But I moved down here in April 3 years ago. And David Icke was here in October of that same year as, to try to help raise some money.
I remember that well, Nancy. In fact, on that show, I did a show with you right after you moved out there, and we talked about David Icke.
So then I decided that I needed to keep trying to raise money because this is very important for the children of today and the children that are yet to come. So I had the first Wake Up Now conference. It was a year ago, and I had 16 guest speakers come in. We still have DVDs of all of them if people are interested in getting a DVD from them. They just go to the website, Wake Up Now conference. But I decided to have a second one. And on the second one, I got a lot smarter because I said I learn every time I do something. So this time there's going to be probably 12 speakers. And I cut down the price because I want as many people to come as they can. And it should be quite interesting. I have, speakers. You're going to be one of them, but you're going to do a Skype one, which is going to be really interesting because it's the first time that I have actually done a Skype interview to an audience.
Yeah, I'll be right there on the video screen right beside you, Nancy, while you're on stage. And we'll talk more about that in a minute. I notice we open up the conference. Well, actually, you have a guided meditation at first. What do you mean by that?
There's a lady by the name of Rhonda Harris Chattery who would like to do a guided meditation to kind of set the energy so that everybody is kind of open and, sit there and understand what's being talked about. So she's going to do like a guided meditation where she talks people through it, because a lot of people have a very hard time with meditating. So she's going to do like a 10-minute guided meditation. And then I'm going to do a little talk, you know, about the school of now, why it's so important, and also people taking back their own power, because you look around the world and you see how everybody's giving up their power. So it's kind of like a little empowerment talk. And then you're going to come on, which I'm really excited about, in the Skype. And then the next guest after you, his name is Philip Clark, and he is a master numerologist, actually from the Chicagoland area, who's coming all the way here because he's a friend of mine, to talk about numerology and how it can help with your life, can change it, can set things up, including business, not just your personal life. And then Bill Murphy, who actually was my MC for the last conference, has decided to come back again for this conference to MC it, plus do a talk on Saturday. So I'm really excited about that because he's really good. And for people who don't know who he is one of the hosts on Fact or Faked on the Sci-Fi channel. And then Brooks Agnew is going to be there, and he talks about Hollow Earth, but he has a new book out, and it's called Remembering the Future, which I haven't had a chance to read it yet, but what I understand, it's about going back into time so you can bring up all your past stuff and work it out so as the future comes in, it all kind of gels. And then David Weatherly is going to be there. He is actually a paranormal investigator, so that should be interesting because I'm always into that stuff.
David Weatherly is an interesting man. And he investigates paranormal hotspots all around the world and the country. And he's done some pretty interesting things on the Skinwalker Ranch up in Utah. Look forward to talking to him. And look forward to hearing his lecture at your conference. And we're going to run over all the speakers who are going to be there and the events. But, Nancy, I think we need to explain the Skype, how it works. It'll be on a big screen, you'll be on stage, and we'll actually get around to asking some of the audience to participate with questions. It's going to be quite interesting.
Yeah, I'm going to bring some people up who's going to have some questions so that they're actually going to be on, you know, where you can see them on Skype. So you actually know who you're talking to, not just a crowd of people. So
we've been kicking around doing some of these Skype appearances at conferences for a long time. And we're honored that you decided to, you know, have us on first at your conference, Nancy. And we will have a good time. And,
I'm absolutely thrilled.
I can't wait to be on
Let's talk
a little bit about Friday night. What else? What's going on? I mean, besides me.
So it actually starts at 6 o'clock at night, and it's over by 9:30. And then, you know, for the people that are there, they can kind of talk and you know, get to know some of the people, because the way I have it set up is that just about all the speakers are going to be there in person other than yourself. So, you know, they can kind of mingle with everybody, plus with the vendors. And then on Saturday, it starts at 10 in the morning, and, you know, there's going to be various speakers at that time. So, you know, like Katrina Perry's going to talk, and then Bill Murphy's going to do his talk, and then, you know, Patty's going to be there. So Saturday's going to be a pretty big day.
Let's talk a little bit more about Bill Murphy.
Fact or Faked, which is on the Sci-Fi station. And what he does is he actually goes and investigates different things, you know, different synopses and scenarios of what people has turned in. Like they'll say they've sighted a UFO, and they'll send him some videos of it. He actually goes out and reenacts the entire scene to see if it is for real or if it's actually faked. Because people have a tendency to want to do that, you know, to get their name out there. So he goes in and he does all the investigations. And it's not just for UFOs. He does all kinds of paranormal investigations. Plus, at the conference, he and his wife are going to do an experiment with the entire group of attendees.
Can you tell us what the experiment's going to be?
You know, he hasn't explained it yet. He said, Nancy's going to be really something kind of cool. He said, it's going to wake everybody up. He said, so I don't want to tell you too much. He said, we're working on it now.
Can you tell us what the experiment is?
You know, he hasn't explained it yet. He said, Nancy's going to be really something kind of cool. He said, it's going to wake everybody up. He said, so I don't want to tell you too much. He said, we're working on it now.
He's got you in the dark too, huh?
Yeah, it's like, okay. You know, but even like last year when he talked, because he did a really good talk, and he brought, you know, videos and had a whole big presentation that showed why when they go out they can prove that it's either, you know, a fact that it really is true or that it's been faked. So he's pretty thorough, and he's got some really, really good stories. I mean, he's just a super, super nice guy. you know, so him and his wife, they're just very, very nice. So they're both going to be there again, and I'm just, like I said, absolutely thrilled. And then Patty Greer, who actually is, you know, a screenwriter. She actually directs movies. She just made a new movie that we're going to be screening at the conference. It's called Four Stories, One Event, Other Worlds, and it's about crop circles that appeared in the energy that all these people from other countries kind of all came together by actually coincidence to this crop circle.
Yeah, we talk to Patty Greer every once in a while. An interesting person for sure. Now, she's going to be there in person, plus you're going to have her film, right?
Yeah, she's going to, well, we're actually going to introduce her, then we're going to do the screening of her documentary, and then after that, she's going to talk about it, and she's going to take questions. So, again, that, you know, that's kind of a first for us, so that should be really, really interesting, too. And then, of course, we have Nick Redford coming in. He's always interested. He is one cool character. You know, he's an author. He talks about all his book. He talks about government cover-ups. I mean, he's just a really, really neat guy. And so he's going to be there. And then, like I said, Brooks Agnew is going to be there. Lynn Buchanan, he's going to be there. He does remote viewing, which is just great. You know, and so he's going to be there.
We've interviewed Lynn Buchanan several times, and he's coming back up on our show this summer. He's an interesting fellow. Everybody likes Lynn Buchanan. What will he be doing at the conference? Talking about remote viewing, giving lessons or something?
Well, he had mentioned that, you know, he was going to try to do just a short remote view session so people kind of understand. But most of the remote viewing sessions last anywhere between an hour and a half, 2 hours, and there's three different phases. So I don't know if we'll get it totally done, but, you know, he's going to go into a lot of great detail about how it happens, why it works, why sometimes it doesn't work. You know, because there's people who try it and they can't do it, but it's not that they can't do it. They just don't follow the way to do it. So I think he's going to do a lot of talking about that to help people understand how well it works.
Remote viewing, I personally find very fascinating. Nancy, have you ever tried remote viewing yourself?
Actually, I took 60 hours with two different instructors to do remote viewing because things would just happen and I wouldn't really be able to explain them. I thought, well, maybe the remote viewing would help. But I took it so that I could help parents locate their children that were missing. And it works really well.
So you've done it. How does it work, really? I mean, is it like watching a movie? You see a picture of something, a vision, or you just feel something, or what?
Kind of all of the above, for me. Now, I can only talk for me.
I understand.
You know, there's a technique that you follow that helps you to touch more than your normal five senses that we have, you know, and the technique uses as many senses, you know, that you have, and you can feel things, you can see things, you can smell things, you can taste things. I mean, it's just really neat, and the only reason why most of the time it doesn't work is because people want to think about what they're feeling or smelling or tasting when all you do is just go with the flow, and you'd be surprised how much information you can get. But see, the problem that I had with it is because I get to feel everybody's emotions. And so while I was doing it, I basically had to relive the last few minutes of a child's life if that child had been murdered or, you know, whatever. Yeah, so, and it's okay because, you know, I'm not part of it and I understand that. But there's a lot of information that comes through from remote viewing and people will look at you like, well, how do you know that? And it's like, well, I don't really know how to explain it other than there's more than just the five senses to follow. You know, so it's very, very interesting. And it can pinpoint things unbelievably well. And, you know, you can come up with a lot of good info. And there's a lot of people who really are very, very good at it. And everybody's thinking, well, you have to be a psychic. But that's not true. You know, if you have really a good instructor who trains you, there's nothing psychic about it. It's just facts, you know, that are there. It's just our senses that shut down are not picking them up until somebody is kind of saying, well, you know, look around. What do you see? And then all of a sudden your mind kind of goes to a blank and you see a picture and you don't even know really where you're at because they don't tell you where you're going or what you're to find. They give you a set of numbers and your own knowledge that's already buried inside your mind. All it's got to do is hear those numbers, and it will take you to wherever it is. I mean, sometimes they will pinpoint things for you if it's, like, really exact. But normally, they don't tell you where they're sending you. It's called a target. And it just it's fascinating because it works really well if you just relax and you don't think. You know, you just don't think and just follow it. And so it works really well. And Lynn is really, really good at explaining how it works and why it works. You know, so he's really, really good. I didn't take
We're talking with
Nancy Wallace. I want to talk a little bit more about the conference, Wake Up Now, 2, the second year. I also want to talk about you as a person. And we can even talk about New Mexico. You know, it's a land of enchantment, but I like to refer to it as the land of high strangeness.
That's very true.
First of all, before we go any further, we need to tell people where the conference is. I mean, where it's going to be held. At the Marriott, right?
It's at the Albuquerque Marriott, located at 2101 Louisiana Boulevard Northeast, in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and it's Friday through Sunday, August 10th through the 12th.
That's right. You and I kick it off on Friday, and on Sunday it ends. What's the last thing that happens?
The last three speakers is Brooks Agnew, Lynn Buchanan, and Adam Goldreitley, who is a writer, lecturer. He talks about Roswell, talks about the conspiracies, you know, that goes on, talks about UFOs. He's very interested, and he does it with a sense of humor, which I think is great, because too many people get too serious, and it's like, oh, you know, and it's that woo stuff. And he doesn't do it like that. He actually does it really, really well, you know, with that humor, and I think that's very important. And then that's for Sunday, and it's going to end about 6 o'clock Sunday, probably go over just a tiny bit, but 6 o'clock on Sunday. So it starts at 6 p.m. Friday, August 10th, and ends 6 p.m. a little later, August the 12th. So it's like three good days of really good speakers coming in.
Yeah, from August 10th through the 12th, you can take a journey into new awareness. And it will be quite edifying and interesting and entertaining. Nancy, is this thing expensive?
No, it is one of the cheapest ones you can go to, from what I've been told. It is $50 per person for all the days. And for a vendor, it is $100 for the entire 3 days. I do not take any of the money from anybody. What they make is theirs.
Wow.
To keep.
Only $60. I want to understand this. You were guided to have this conference by channeling. Who were you channeling?
Well, my angels just kind of come through, and they give me a lot of good directions. And I just kind of listen to them. I call them my angels because that's how I look at it.
So that's who you've been channeling, angels, some sort of angels, your personal angels?
Yes, ever since that freaky accident when I was 6 years old. And they really, they've tried to save my life several times, actually, in the course of my life. And I still have that human instinct to want to argue with them every now and then, but luckily I listen to them most of the time. So it's pretty interesting.
Uh-huh.
You know, down here in New Mexico, it was really funny because when I first came down here, because I was doing an internet radio show, and I had interviewed a lady who actually lived in New Mexico. Her name is Sister Priscilla Wolf. And I told her I was going to move down. And so she said, well, when you move down, Nancy, let me know. So I got here on a Saturday, and I called her on Sunday. And I said, oh, I'm here. And she said, oh, really, where? I said, in Los Lunas. And she said, I'm going to be there next week. Why don't you come and meet me face-to-face? And I said, well, okay, but, you know, where? So she was going to be at this dowsing meeting, this dowsers meeting that they have here once a month. And I said, okay, cool. So I went to the meeting, and I met a lot of people, you know, and I met her. And she was really, you know, very, very nice. So the first time that I was down here, within a week, I started meeting all kinds of people that are very, you know, very much attuned. And it was pretty interesting because everybody has their own little thing that they want to do. So I started meeting people like right away, which was good. And then when they asked me what I, you know, they passed the mic around at this meeting and they said, you know, kind of tell us who you are, what you do. And my introduction was, my name is Nancy Wallace. I've been here for a week. I came here to find land, find funding, build a school, open it and run it, called the School of Now, and that's what I plan to do. Well, just like that, real quick, because there was probably about 50 people there, and it was like instant whiplash on everybody's neck. It's like, what? You know, we want to talk to you. So after it was all over, I had all these people wanting to talk to me because I was just very straight with what I was here to do. You know, and, you know, I didn't really come down here to, you know, extend my business into, you know, my counseling, because I do life coach counseling. I just really came down here with that intent. And I've told people that. So it kind of fell into place. Within 3 months, I found a person who could design the school, which I wanted it made out of monolithic domes, which is the safest buildings being built in the world today. It's made out of 19 of those, all connected so that the courtyard is totally safe for the children. And they're going to grow their own organic gardens. And, you know, it's all going to be totally different from what people know. So after this meeting was over, I was explaining it to everybody, and then that's when I met this person and said, oh, well, I design domes. So it all fell in very quickly. So within the first year of being down here in New Mexico, not only did I have a design, I had land, which is a big deal because nobody walks into a state and only being there for, you know, a few months and somebody donates your land like that. So it just all fell into place for me. And so that's, you know, what I'm doing. So in order to help, you know, make the awareness higher, raise some money, not a lot, but some, that's why I do the conferences, because it's like this just needs to be done. People need to know. They need to wake up. So it was very simple naming the conference Wake Up Now, because we really, really need to wake up now from, you know, when you look around and see what's going on. So this is the second one I hope to do one every year, even after the school is built, because I think it's real important that people continue to wake up and continue to, you know, grow.
We're talking with Nancy Wallace, and we're talking about her dream, the School of Now. Sounds exciting, Nancy, and really something that's needed. Where will this be located again?
See, the School of Now is between Las Lunas and Belen, New Mexico, on a road called Manzano Express, which isn't really an express for what we know it, but it's all open space. There's nothing built in the space that I have and nothing built in the whole unit, which is probably 600 acres of nothing being built there, except it's going to have my school there. So it's really, really fascinating, and I'm excited.
You know, when we talk about remote viewing, a lot of people are interested in that. You said you took some classes. How do you do that? I mean, people are interested in how to learn how to do remote viewing.
Dr. Wayne Carr, who lives in the state of Washington, I believe, or Oregon, he may have moved, is the one I took one of my classes with. The other person was Prudence, who does not live in the United States anymore. She now lives in Europe. But Dr. Wayne Carr has a remote, I think it's called the Remote Viewing Institute or Institute of Remote Viewing. And he was also very, very good. You know, I had talked to Lynn, and I said, man, Lynn, I'd like to have some classes with you. And he goes, well, you know, down the road someplace, Nancy. Yeah, so, but, you know, remote viewing, it's really fun. And the information is amazing because you sit there and you go, well, how did I know that? And like I said, it's like you already know it. And it just happens to come out as long as you don't think. It's when you start to think and make it logical that it doesn't work. And you won't get the correct information. And what I learned is that if there's a group of you doing it, you actually get more information because everybody is going to see it at a different angle, a different level, or different feelings or whatever. When I do it, I don't draw very well, but I get all of the feelings. So I could describe the emotions, the feelings, you know, the senses and the whole bit. I'm very good at that. I mean, I draw the pictures.
I don't know if Liam Buchanan still gives lessons in remote viewing or not. He might. Probably does. How about, well, he lives in New Mexico, you live in New Mexico. Anybody you could recommend in New Mexico to teach you remote viewing?
I could steer them to it. You know, after I had taken my classes and stuff when I was in Illinois, we would always meet and continue to practice because the more you practice, the better it works. But, I mean, I can steer them to, you know, like Dr. Wayne Carr. They can actually look them up on the Internet, too, you know. And I don't know if Lynn is giving out classes because I know with his new company what he does is put together a database for the different strengths that people have.
Yeah, I know several people who have worked with Lynn Buchanan. You know, probably the best advice we could give is if you're interested in remote viewing, go to your conference and meet Lynn Buchanan.
Yeah, I think that would be very interesting. And if people are interested and they can't make it to the conference for any reason, you know, there will be DVDs sold much later than the conference because we'd really like people to come in person. It makes a big difference when they're there in person or whether they watch a DVD. So later there will be DVDs sold, but not right away. But if they're interested in remote viewing, this would be a time to come into New Mexico and really listen to what Lynn has to say, because he is a very, very interesting person.
This would be a good time for you to go ahead and give the information on how they can come to the conference, how they can register.
Okay, all they have to do is go to wakeupnowconference.com. And the very first thing that's going to come up is Wake Up Now Conference. Wake Up Now Conference. Who are you? So if you just click on that, it'll take you right into the website, and they can see the schedule, they can see the hotel, they can learn a little bit about each of the people who are going to be there. They'll learn a little bit about the school and what I'm really trying to do. And so it's all right there on the website. If they want more information about the School of Now, if they go to schoolofnow.org, it will take them into my website for that. And it's got a lot of really, you know, pretty cool videos on there for these children that are very, very good, but yet they're deemed to be ADD, ADHD, or some other problem going on with them.
Nancy, I want to know more about the School of Now.
The school is designed to accommodate 500 students, K through high school, because it is a live-in school and a day school both, of children that have been labeled with ADD, ADHD, problem children, children that do not fit into the bell curve, the intuitive children, and the children that are bored with this old teaching that they've been made forced to learn, which really isn't what they need, because they're very far advanced, all of these children. So it's K through high school, and like I said, it's 500 students, and the teaching is very different. It's not the teaching where you come in because you're at a certain age. It's not it. Each child is individual, and when they come to the school, the entire family will have a numerology chart done, an astrology chart done on each and every person that's in the family, and then a consultation with me so that we can actually see who that child is and know where we can help him the best by putting him into other classrooms with children like themselves. But there will be no more than 12 to 15 students per class. And the classes will be taught at 20, 25-minute increments with a 10-minute break in between each increment, because children, they can't sit for an hour listening to the same old stuff and actually be, you know, learn a lot. So they're too advanced for that. It's going to be very much hands-on teaching. In other words, most people don't realize that in order to work on a car, you have to know math, science, and English. So, you know, the normal teachings will all be taught. They will learn everything they need to learn, but in a much different way that they can enjoy it and have fun with it, because children learn much better when they're having fun. So they also have organic gardens. You know, it's just a total different concept. There will be horses that come to the school so children can work with the horses. And the really big thing that's real important is that once a month, there will be a specialized instructor that comes to the school for a week, and they could teach like remote viewing, they could teach astrology, numerology, whatever it is. The entire school is going to learn it and sit there in that, you know, for that teaching. And when that instructor leaves, the entire school will continue to work with it for that whole month until the next one comes in. So that way, it gives kids all kinds of different, you know, incentives to find out really what they're drawn to. They're not told you're going to do this, you're going to do that. It's what they're drawn to. And as far as the ADD, ADHD children, there are a lot of children that are being put on these drugs for no reason at all because they are so far advanced that they're bored. But when they're bored, they're called not being able to focus. And so the first thing people want to do is put them on a drug. I'll give you a perfect example why I started this originally, other than the guidance that I got. I have a granddaughter, and when she was 2.5, 3 years old, she was in a Montessori school, and my daughter was an instructor there. And my daughter kept acting kind of funny, and finally I said to her, I said, Tracy, what's the matter? What's going on? She said, well, Mom, they think there's something wrong with Taylor. I said, really? What might that be? They said, well, they think that she's got a chemical imbalance because she can't focus. I said, excuse me? She has a chemical imbalance because she can't focus. Is that what you said? She said, yeah. I said, and they think that she needs to be put on some kind of medication. I said, okay, Tracy, when you go back to work tomorrow and you have Taylor with you and they start talking about how this little 2.5, 3-year-old girl cannot focus, you ask them this question. Why is it at that age 2.5 to 3 years old, she can watch a full-length video movie one time. And it doesn't matter how far apart she sees this video movie, but when she sees it again, she knows every single word by every single character that's being said exactly when it's to be said, and she does it while she's playing on the computer. Now you ask them, if she can't focus, how is she capable of doing that? But they couldn't answer that question. So I started doing my research with some of the people that I was counseling, because I counseled principals, teachers, everybody. So I asked them, I said, you know, what's going on in the school today? And this one person was a principal, and she said, you know, I just retired. And I said, well, aren't you kind of young to retire? She said, yeah, but Nancy, I can't take it. And I go, what do you mean? What's happening? She said, you know, when I started at this school 5 years ago, and it was in Chicago, she said, we had one nurse to pass out the medicine. She said, and in that 5 years, we had to hire 5 more to 6 more nurses to pass out all the Ritalin that they're giving these kids today. And I said, what? She said, yeah, and I just couldn't take it. So that was part of an incentive to help these children, because I truly do not believe that these children need to be on those drugs. I think there's, you know, that if that's the case, that should be the very last scenario, not the first. And they should work on everything else before that drug starts to happen. So that also prompted the School of Now to be born. So, you know, it's pretty important that people understand that there are many, many children that are being drugged uselessly because the pharmaceutical companies just want to keep making a lot of money. And they don't know what really is going to happen to these children's brains as they get older. In fact, I was really angry because I had found out that they are experimenting with Ritalin and drugs like that on 2- and 3-year-olds. So I kind of went ballistic.
Nancy, I applaud you for your efforts with the School of Now. It sounds like a worthwhile adventure in education. Let's talk about UFOs for a minute. After all, this is a UFO show. Had any UFO sightings or experiences? Nancy, come clean.
Yes, actually I have. It's really funny. The
I just had a hunch you might have.
Well, especially since I came down here to New Mexico. My house that I live in is the last house to 10 miles of openness to the mountains. So between my house and the mountains, there's nothing. And I'm up very, very late at night because I play cards with my mom to keep her mind going. So I sometimes go to bed at 2, 2.30 in the morning and get back up at 7. But I always look out my bedroom window, which faces due east to the mountains. And my first time when I was just kind of checking things out, it was probably about, maybe 1 o'clock in the morning. And I noticed this huge, huge bright light just above the mountain. That wasn't moving. And I watched that light for probably 15, 20 minutes, and it didn't move. I thought, now that's kind of weird, because during the daylight, there's not a light out there anyplace. So I watched it, and then all of a sudden it shot off red lasers and then just disappeared, like gone. And I thought, man, what was that? Come back here, you know? Let me see this again. You know, so that was one of them. And then I was sitting talking to somebody on the phone, and the whole south side of the house I have is all windows. So I'm looking up at the sky, and all of a sudden this white circular object goes streaking across the window view. It took probably 15 to 17 seconds to be totally out of view. And I'm going, man, that was cool, you know. And I thought I just saw a UFO, and the person on the other side of the phone goes, what did you say? And I said, oh, no, I was just kind of daydreaming. But that happened. And then one night I was sitting in my office doing some Skype consultations, and my mom comes in and says, hey, Nancy, come and look at these lights. They're kind of different. So I left my office to walk into the kitchen where she saw them, and they weren't there. So I then went back and looked out the dining room window, and there was this huge circular object with white lights underneath it blinking all the way around, like in a circular motion. No noise, no anything, just kind of drifting. You know, it's hard. It's like gliding very slowly across the land. So I call my daughter, who lives just within walking distance, and I said, hey, Tracy, look out your front door and tell me what you see. And she goes over there and she goes, oh, it looks like we have some visitors here. And I said, yeah, isn't that cool? She said, yeah. So then I call her neighbor, which is right across the street from her, which is a friend of mine from Chicago who moved here. And I said, hey, Denise, go out and look out your back door and tell me what you see. And she had company from, you know, a lady that's down here in New Mexico. And so they go on. She goes, oh, I see what you're seeing. And I hear the lady say, oh, we call those blinkers. They come here a lot. So I've had those kind of experiences. But there's different feelings that have happened to me since I've been down here. The man who runs the dowsing meetings, he has a crystal skull that sat with Max. And I'm always interested in everything, and I'll try just about everything. So he had mentioned it, and I said, really, you have a crystal skull? He goes, yeah, would you like to see it sometime? And I said, well, sure. So I went over to his house to see this crystal skull. But he also has a healing bed that he invented. And kind of caught my eye because it looks like a labyrinth when you look at it. And I said, well, Gary, what's that? And he goes, well, it's a healing bed I invented. I said, well, is it portable? And he said, no, it weighs about 300 pounds. I go, well, what's in there to weigh 300 pounds? He goes, well, it has a lot of programmed crystals in it. It has plutonium in it, and it has a lot of natural sea salt water. So that was interesting. But when he handed me the skull and I turned it toward me, the energy from the skull totally filled my body. It was like I was in an airplane getting ready to land, my nose plugged up, my ears plugged up, and this energy surged through me. It was really kind of neat. And so I held it for probably, I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 minutes. He goes, he's just kind of scanning you to make sure you're okay. And I said, oh, all right. So then I turned the skull back around and handed it to him. And when I did, all of that energy then left again. And I was like, oh, man, that was cool. And so I said, Gary, I'd like to, you know, try your healing bed sometime. I said, maybe we'll do a barter, you know, I'll talk and you know, give you a consultation. He goes, yeah, that would be great, Nancy. Why don't you come back next week? So I went home, and then within probably about 24 hours after I held that skull, my gallbladder decided that it needed to clean itself. So it kind of went into me, the energy from the skull, and cleaned out my body, which was great. And then the next week I went and I laid on the bed. And after I got done laying on the bed, within a few days after that, I was, you know, at home with, you know, my mom, my daughter, and myself. We all moved into one house to begin with. And like I said, my mom and I play cards, so we were going to play cards. But this energy kept just filled the house. I mean, it felt like I was walking through knee-deep quicksand. And I lost 2 hours worth of time. And it was just strange. And my mom's cat felt it, too, because she kind of went down on the floor like she was, like, paralyzed. And when I went to pick her up, it was like picking up a limp rag doll. I said, Mom, she just probably has an upset stomach. But I had all of this energy in our house. And I just kept saying, if you're not here for our highest good, I really demand you leave. But it didn't leave. And so I really had the most peaceful night of sleep ever. But I had lost 2 hours because that was at 10:30. And when we went to play cards, it was already 12:30 at night, which was very strange. Yep. And then the next day, it was even stranger because it was like everything inside of me had done another shift. I mean, I like to drink Cherry Coke and Cherry Pepsi, so I filled a glass full of iced Cherry Coke, took one sip out of it, and literally spit it in the sink because it tasted like mildew. So I dumped out the whole brand new bottle thinking maybe it's just the bottle. So I opened a bottle of Cherry Pepsi, and the same thing happened. So from that time all the way through now, I can't drink pop like that anymore. The only pop I can drink is root beer, which doesn't make any sense. But all the rest of them, whether it's Sprite, 7-Up, whatever, Sierra Mist, Coke, Cherry Pepsi, it all tastes like mildew. And my senses totally heightened because somebody will walk past me wearing a perfume or a cologne, and all I could smell is the chemicals. Could not even tell you what it smelled like. Yeah, it was like really ick. Or if somebody was smoking a cigarette, I could literally smell the formaldehyde from that cigarette in their body. So wow. Those kind of things have happened to me. It's just strange. And the food, the taste of food is totally different. Like eggs don't taste like eggs. So the only thing that really tastes the same that didn't change is vegetables, you know, which I love. And I'm a water drinker, so I drink a lot of water. But those kind of weird things have happened since I've been down here.
Nancy, you're an interesting woman indeed, and they can meet you in person at the Wake Up Now conference the second year in Albuquerque. Why don't you go ahead and do the commercial? Tell us about the conference one more time.
It's called Wake Up Now Conference 2, Who Are You? It is August 10th through the 12th at the Marriott, the Albuquerque Marriott at 2101 Louisiana Boulevard in Albuquerque. And it starts Friday, August 10th at 6 p.m. and ends Sunday, August 12th, right around 6 p.m. And the website is wakeupnowconference.com. You can order your tickets there. You can see who all the speakers are with the time schedules, and you can get a little bit of history about what it's all about and what it's for.
And you and me will be kicking off the conference on Friday evening.
We are going to kick it off big time, and I'm so, so thrilled that you're going to be there with us.
Okay. Thanks very much, Nancy, and we'll see you in Albuquerque August 10th.
Thank you, too, Jerry. You take
and
care.
People, check out all of the links here on this page. Find out what a great conference this is. You'll be missing something if you don't attend. I'm Jerry Pippin. Thanks for listening. Until next time, cheers.